From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. You've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in the book of Joshua as he brings part two of a message called Unfinished Business. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook, written by C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled True Heart Energy. The text is 1 Timothy 4, verse 15. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. This is, practically, a promise that by diligent meditation and the giving up of our whole mind to our work for the Lord, we shall make a progress which all can see. Not by hasty reading, but by deep meditation we profit by the Word of God, not by doing a great deal of work in a slovenly manner, but by giving our best thought to what we attempt, we shall get real profit. In all labor there is profit, but not in fuss and hurry without true heart energy. If we divide ourselves between God and mammon, or Christ and self, we shall make no progress. We must give ourselves wholly to holy things, or else we shall be poor traders in heavenly business, and at our stock-taking no profit will be shown. Am I a minister? Let me be a minister wholly, and not spend my energies upon secondary concerns. What have I to do with party politics or vain amusements? Am I a Christian? Let me make my service of Jesus my occupation, my life work, my one pursuit. We must be in and in with Jesus, and then out and out for Jesus, or else we shall make neither progress nor profit, and neither the church nor the world will feel that forceful influence which the Lord would have us exercise. One of the most precious gifts God has given to mankind is the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. For those in the English-speaking world, the ability to own a copy of God's Word is taken for granted. Indeed, many of us possess multiple copies of the Bible. Yet, this was not always the case. There was a time when attempts to translate the Bible into the language of the common people were met with persecution and even death. Men like John Wycliffe and William Tyndale were hunted like outlaws simply because they labored to give God's Word to people in the language they could understand. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available a booklet that briefly traces the history of those efforts, entitled How We Got Our English Bible. This short publication tells the story of the development of the authorized version of the Scriptures as we know it, including the enormous impact of the invention of printing upon the spreading of God's Word. Published by the Trinitarian Bible Society, this booklet is free to all who request it. Simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of How We Got Our English Bible, and we'll be happy to provide it. Now an old man, Joshua had fulfilled his commission to conquer the land of Canaan. His work was done. Yet the Lord said, "There remaineth very much land to be possessed." This was the task of the children of Israel. In applying this historical account to the present day, Dr. Cairns is pointing to the New Testament equivalent. In the Gospels, we see that the Lord Jesus Christ finished the work of redemption on the cross. The book of Acts underscores the unfinished work of the church to reach the world with the gospel. First of all, the Christian life is meant to progress toward an ever fuller enjoyment of all that we have in Christ. God's people are to possess their possessions. Then, having experienced salvation, believers are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now to continue this message, unfinished business. Here is Dr. Cairns.
By faith in Christ we are justified. By faith in Christ we are saved. By faith in Christ we enter into all the benefits and all the blessings of the covenant of grace. Now that is fundamentally what the Christian life is all about. That will lead to plenty of doing, as we'll see in a moment. But never make the mistake of starting your definition of being a Christian in terms of doing. Define it in terms of personal relationship with Christ. If you're in Christ, you're saved. He who hath the Son hath life. If you're out of Christ, whatever you do, you are unsaved. Behold every man and woman amongst us today to find out where he or she stands in relation to the Lord Jesus Christ. Without Christ is to be without God. It is to be without hope. Without Christ is to be dead in trespasses and sins. Without Christ, my friend, is to have the stamp of judgment upon your brow, the certainty of death within your soul. But to be in Christ, to be in Christ, is to be saved with eternal salvation, to be covered by the blood of His atonement, to be accepted on the merits of His righteousness, and clothed in the garments of His salvation. That fundamentally is what the Christian life is all about. And everything else flows from that. But it does flow from it. There are things you cannot be in Christ without having consequences. It's impossible to be found in Him, clothed in His righteousness, without having a natural result of that. And that's what I want to talk to you about at this time. This progress to an increasing enjoyment of what we have in Christ. You remember Peter spoke to the new Christians to whom he wrote his first epistle, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. And he said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. In this, in the next epistle, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, he emphasizes the same thing. He says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a theme that the New Testament constantly emphasizes. Paul told the Colossians in chapter 1:10 that they should walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. To the Thessalonians, he wrote, rejoicing that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Remember the verses we studied for quite a long time in 2 Peter chapter 1, where the apostle says, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge patience, or temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, if these things are in you and are constantly growing and overflowing, they make you that you'll neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul told the Ephesians that they should speak the truth in love and grow up into Christ in all things. Grow up into Him in all things. Now, I want you to notice the constant emphasis here. If you're in Christ, if you've received life eternal and all the blessings of God's salvation, then you should increase. Just as a babe grows, you should grow. You should increase in your knowledge of God. Now, time is not going to allow me to take a lot of time on each of these, but I want you to think of these areas of your life. You're a Christian. You know God. This, said Jesus in John 17, verse 3, this is life eternal, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. This is life eternal. If you have eternal life, you know God. But you are to increase in the knowledge of God. You're to grow to know Him more. It's impossible to live in fellowship with a person without growing to know that person more as the time goes by. We all know that from our personal experience. The day you married your wife, you knew her, at least I hope you did. Sometimes the way people rush to get married nowadays, I wonder if they do, but that's another story. You know her. But you know, It's a great tragedy. And it's true in far too many cases. Every preacher has had to deal with it sooner or later. It's a great tragedy when a man is married to a woman for 10 or 20 years. And he doesn't know her any better then than the day he married her. I have cases over the years where people come. I think of one case about 14 or 15 years back. Where a man and a woman had been married for a quarter of a century, had raised their family, and yet they knew no more of each other after all that time than when they first got married. And I think it's fair to say that after talking to each of them for a little while, I knew each of them better than either knew the other. That's tragic. How much more tragic when we're coming to deal with the relationship and the fellowship of a Christian with his God. We're to grow in faith. Faith cometh by hearing. In other words, a knowledge of God is going to produce a greater degree of faith. We are to grow in faith. Now, here is an anomaly that ought not to be among the people of God, and yet we must confess it. It appears that young Christians find it much easier to trust the Lord in many areas than many mature Christians. I remember a preacher saying to me that it seems the older we get, the harder it is to get to know the will of God. But why should that be? Why should it be? We see Christians today who 10 or 20 years ago, who could have stepped forth by faith, taking God at His Word and fearlessly pursued that Word. Yet today they halter and falter. And they can do nothing. Hobbled by unbelief. Listen, in all things we are to grow up into Christ. That simply means that we are to come to a full development of our peculiar position in the body of Christ. We are drawing from Christ, who is our life. We are to grow to full maturity to fulfill that place the Savior has given to us. The Christian life is meant to be a development, a progress, a growth to ever fuller enjoyment of all we have in Christ. Let me ask you today, are you enjoying Christ more today than in the past? Are you? Those of you who have been saved for years, are you at this time actively enjoying what you have in Christ? Are you enjoying your position in Him? Are you enjoying the victory that there is in Him? Are you enjoying the fellowship that there is in Him? Are you enjoying the position you have in His body? Are you developing as a Christian in your knowledge of God, in your faith that grows out of that knowledge, in your likeness to Christ and your usefulness to Christ? Is there a development in your life in those areas? Because I tell you, that is what the Christian life is supposed to produce. The Christian life is also meant to be one of growing usefulness in the service of Christ. When we say there's much land yet to be possessed, we're saying the Christian life means that when Christ saves us, He sets us as Joshua did Israel in the promised land. He says, now there is the rest of the land. Go and pursue and conquer. The Great Commission envisages a growing outreach. The Lord Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now I recognize that was said to all the disciples as the representative body of the entire church. Not one of us can fulfill that commission entirely. Not one congregation can fulfill it entirely. But we each contribute our part to the overall work. But I want you to see the great commission given by the Lord Jesus just before his ascension had the great vision of his church reaching out to the ends of the earth. Immediately before he ascended into heaven, he said to his disciples, Acts 1 and verse 8, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses. Now, notice the progression. In Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. He was speaking to Jews. And he was saying to them, you are not to settle in Jerusalem and let the church simply be a Jerusalem body. You are not merely to evangelize Judea. Beyond Judea, there is Samaria, that hated and despised place. You must evangelize Samaria. But beyond Samaria, there is the world of the Gentiles. It is the commission of the risen Christ to his church to reach out to the ends of the earth. When Paul wrote to the church in the city of Rome, he rejoiced that their faith was spoken of throughout the whole world. I believe that there's obviously a limitation to that. The church was yet very small in Rome. But what he was saying, that such was their influence, it was reaching out further and further and further. He commended the Thessalonians because from you sounded out the word of the Lord. Not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God's word is spread abroad. The mission of the Church of Christ is to proceed toward that day that John saw in the book of the Revelation, chapter 11, verse 15, when the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Until that day, the mission of the Church is to be on the stretch for God. Now, this is the Christian life.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.